This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this 21st day of January, we say good morning to Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. And it is county championship night. It is championship day for the championship night for the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, the Macoupin County Tournament, Highland Girls Tournament. But underway right now, before we get into basketball, right now in Collinsville, the bowling sectional is underway. Ryan Robinson from Hillsboro was the medalist, was the high scorer in the regional last week at Alton. So Ryan Robinson from Hillsboro, Bryce Reeves from Carlinville, Tyler Miller from North Mac, all advanced as individuals. The Southwestern team is there competing in the bowling sectional today at Collinsville. Connor Shobem, Tanner Mayhew, Alex Watts, Joey Gaither, Trevor Kell, Chris Watts, and Dawson Cummings. So good luck to them.
And I assume that's without bumpers.
This is the real deal. This is the real bowling. The finals are in O'Fallon, so the state finals. So it's kind of like, you know, hey, if you are successful, you get to stay close to home.
There you go.
Good luck to our area bowlers.
Absolutely. It's cool that some of the area schools around here have bowling.
Yeah. And the girls' season starts here in a little bit there, or the postseason will be a little bit further down the line. But good luck to those guys today. And that's, you know, you would think there would be a lot of bowling teams.
You would think.
With the bowling alleys we have around here.
Right.
Of course, there's been lots of basketball this week. This has been tournament week here at the Tally Broadcasting Stations on WSMI FM 106 with our coverage from the Macoupin County Tournament and the Litchfield Invitational Tournament after getting off to being postponed last Saturday because of the threatening ice storm, which never really appeared.
Not like they said it was going to.
Not like they said it was supposed to, but
some dummies still managed to fall on it, though.
Nonetheless, safety prevailed, and things were rearranged, and we got the tournaments going and up to speed, and now we are set for the finals today. If you didn't catch the scores earlier today, let's get you caught up on what happened. First off, at the Macoupin County Tournament was the de facto semifinals last night as 1-4, 2-3 in the Macoupin County Tournament, and it's going to be number 1 versus number 4 in the championship game, right?
For girls or boys?
For boys.
No, North Mac's the 3.
North Mac was the 3? Yeah. Okay. So Southwestern defeated Gillespie last night, 58-43, and North Mac beat Bunker Hill, 52-36. And Southwestern and North Mac will meet in the boys' championship game tonight. At the Litchfield Invitational Tournament in the championship bracket semifinals, Mount Zion, the top seed. You could see why they were the top seed. They put on quite a show last night. They defeated Nokomis 65-52. And Civic Memorial beat Taylorville in the second semi 62-58. In the ninth place game, Lebanon beat Litchfield 59-51. And in the 11th place game, Roxana downed East Alton Wood River 56-33. And in the girls' side of things, as far as tournament play is concerned, in the Highland Tournament yesterday, in the fifth-place bracket semifinals, Mater Dei beat Belleville-Altoff 40-34, Breeze Central over Okawville in overtime 40-36, and Belleville West punched their ticket to the championship game, and they beat Totopolis 64-54 in the championship bracket semi. The Sangamon County Classic at Williamsville last night wrapped up in the fifth-place game. Springfield Lutheran beat Pleasant Plains 59-50. Auburn over Williamsville in the third place game, 50-45, and Tri-City beat Athens, 43-35 for the championship. And at the Effingham Round Robin, Greenville beat Centralia 67-60 in overtime, and Effingham beat Pena 57-31. So what's coming up on the docket today as far as our high school basketball tournaments are concerned? First off, in the Macoupin County tournament, on the girls' side of the tournament, the fifth-place game is set for high noon today with North Mac taking on Bunker Hill. The third-place game is set for 3 o'clock with Gillespie taking on Southwestern. And then you've got Mount Olive taking on Carlinville in the title game tonight at 6:30. At the Highland Tournament, in a game that will be getting underway in less than an hour in the Consolation Championship, Hillsboro will take on Nashville at 10. in the fifth-place game. After that, Breeze Central gets Breeze Modern Day. Teutopolis will meet O'Fallon in the third-place game, and later on this afternoon, about 2:30, Belleville West plays Highland in the championship game at the Highland Tournament, the miniature girls' state tournament.
And when Hillsboro, Nashville is a consolation game?
Yeah, consolation bracket yeah. championship game, yeah.
Goodness.
What kind of a tournament is that?
A great one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and the two Breeze schools are playing for fifth place.
Yeah, so, you know, if you want to judge how good a tournament is, don't look at the championship game.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the other games that follow on the final day, and that'll give you a true reading of how good the tournament is.
That Highland tournament is spectacular, and the level of competition is terrific. On the boys' side of the play at the Macoupin County Tournament, the fifth-place game has Mount Olive taking on Carlinville at 1:30. The third-place game has Bunker Hill battling Gillespie at 4:30. And the title game, Southwestern and North Mac at 8 o'clock. And at Litchfield today, everything will be in Simmons Gymnasium. We start off with the seventh-place game. Hillsboro takes on Greenville at 2:30. That'll be a live broadcast this afternoon here on FM 106. Then in the fifth-place game, Metro East Lutheran takes on Pena at 4. Nokomis battles Taylorville at 5:30. Mount Zion takes on Civic Memorial at 7. We'll have the Nokomis-Taylorville game after our Macoupin County coverage tonight on WSMI FM 106. So, it's been a long tournament week, but it's been a good tournament week. And at Litchfield, through the first, well, through all the pool play, no upsets at all. A couple upsets once we got to the brackets, but no upsets in the pool play at all at the Litchfield tournament. So
just a few at the Macoupin County tournament. I think one on the boys' side, Carlinville beat Staunton. That was a 7-6. And then on the girls' side, Southwestern beat North Mac 5-4.
Yeah. So and those 5-4s are kind of, you know, up in 50-50 anyway. So it's been a pretty good tournament this week. We've had good weather to, you know, at least haven't been hindered.
No.
Sliding from side to side on the roads like we have from time to time.
It's been known to be a nasty week.
Yes, it has been known to be a nasty week. So it's be good to wrap these tournaments up. And what's really interesting is, and we talk about benchmarks and how important certain points of the season, you know, the Christmas tournaments and now the mid-season tournaments, for, at least for the boys. Girls are just a couple weeks away from 1A and 2A regionals. This kind of puts things in perspective on where you are as a team, things you still need to work on. Coaches are never satisfied, obviously, and never should be, but you really get a good look at you know what you need to work on going down the stretch. So
yeah, you don't want to you always want to be playing your best ball, but you don't want to be playing your best ball at Christmas.
Right.
You want to be getting close to playing your best ball at this point of the season right now, especially for the girls' teams, because as you said, in a couple of weeks, it's playoff time.
And, you know, and Coach Lofko was like this, and I know there's a lot of other coaches in Macoupin County that like to gear their season towards peaking at about the Macoupin County tournament, and because that's a good lead-in to the postseason tournament. So this is one of these benchmark weeks that we talk about. So,
yeah, and I don't know if that's a focus of T.J. Wilson or not, but, boy, his team always seems to be playing their best basketball this week.
Do you ever want to bet against T.J.'s team?
I don't know why you would, unless you want to lose your money.
I tell you, North Mac just steps up year after year after year.
You can go back to his days at Girard.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, so it's been a fun tournament. So, and while we have a chance, thanks to the schools that host. Carlinville's hosting the 99th edition of the Macoupin County Tournament. And, of course, Carlinville does a great job hosting the Christmas tournament, and they've done postseason tournaments as well and do a great job. And Litchfield does a great job as well. And without their guys' cooperation, guys and gals, and all the volunteers, I mean, it's literally dozens and dozens of volunteers that help put these tournaments on. Without that, none of this happens. So it's kind of a tip of the cap to the communities.
Absolutely. Thankless job.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But, you know, when you get a chance to bring people together and enjoy some high school basketball, good things tend to happen.
Absolutely. So I was thinking yesterday, you know, it was Presidential Inauguration Day, and I was driving up to the Macoupin County Tournament. I thought, 99 years. Who was the president the first year of the Macoupin County Tournament? I looked it up, so I know the answer. You got a guess?
I have no idea.
Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
Okay. I had no idea. And of course, the Macoupin County tournament is the second oldest county tournament. McLean County had the 100th edition of their county tournament this year. So Macoupin County is the second oldest county tournament. So Woodrow Wilson.
Okay. That puts it in perspective how old the tournament is.
Well, was that prior to World War One?
It was right at
World War
right
I.
Out, yeah, it was kind of right in the middle there. He served from 13 to 21.
Man.
Yeah. Woodrow. Old Woodrow.
I don't even know what number he is. And then
I don't know.
Trump is, what, 45,
He's 45.
Right? Okay. That goes back a ways.
It goes back a ways. Yes, it does.
Our R&D department is not here today.
He's sick today.
Well.
Didn't fall on the ice, did he?
No.
That's good.
But you fell on the ice. You discovered Newton's law of gravity.
I did. I did, and it's true. It cannot be fudged with or manipulated. It is what it is.
For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
So I found the opposite reaction.
If there's no friction there,
I smacked my head off my sidewalk, parallel to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest I've jumped in years.
Yeah, but it's not the way you wanted to jump, Tim.
Not what I had in mind, no.
Not what you had in mind. If you could only sky like that now, you know.
Well, that's how I know that I'm really getting old. I fell on the ice when it really wasn't that bad. All the nasty storms I survived, that got me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other night at the county tournament, I think it was Grant Graham, his shoes. Like they were cool looking pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Like they were like gray and like had like some black like stripes on them, but they looked like they were form-fitted to his feet. Like they look like socks. And I told Gary, I fell on the ice, and now I don't understand the shoes. I am getting old. Getting old. It's the little things that
it's
do it to
you. Red, It's just, You just kind of have to roll with the punches.
You do. There's no other way to do it.
But thanks to all of our, hosts of the tournaments, we've been broadcasting from at Litchfield and at Carlinville. It's been fun, and they do a great job, so we appreciate it. And we hope you will go out and enjoy the games tonight and today, and take in these kids participating. So it's a good dollar value, as Uncle Ralph used to say. You couldn't spend your money any better.
Not this day and age.
Yeah, not in this day and age. So. Anyway, so our broadcast schedule looks like this. Coming up this afternoon from the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, the seventh place game, Hillsborough takes on Greenville. 2:30 our tip, and we'll have live coverage for you on FM 106.1. Tonight, the championship night from the Macoupin County Tournament. And by the way, WSMI has been broadcasting from the Macoupin County Tournament for 60-plus years. 60-plus years. Out of the 99, we've been there for almost two-thirds of them.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty darn interesting, isn't it? Southwest, Ermanov takes on Carlinville in the girls' title game at 6:30. Southwestern takes on North Mac in the boys' title game. And then we'll have the Nokomis-Taylorville game, a third-place game from the Litchfield tournament. We'll stream all those games online at WSMIRadio.com. Let's get to a break. We'll come back. We've got a little special feature coming up that took place earlier this week at the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. We'll share that with you after this break.
One of the storylines unfolding tonight, Stephen Finske with two more points would hit the 1,000-point mark. He has 20 points total tonight, 998 for his career. 15.8 seconds to go in the ball game. It'll be Hilltoppers basketball. Toppers have this game wrapped up with a 10-point lead. Let's see if the Toppers try to run something to get the ball to Finske. Ball comes into Steven, and he is fouled by Cam Morris. Morris will get his first personal foul, and Steven Finske will shoot the 1-1. That was a 19 foul. Finske with 998 career points. A 6'2 senior. Well, Steven, good luck. Young man, good luck. Let's just make a couple of them here. Let's have a nice round of applause for the young man. Free throw, good! There's point number 999 for Stephen Finske. And that makes it 51-40. And Stephen Finske takes a deep breath, smiles, Could this be point 1,000? It is! And Steven Finske with the free throw! 1,000 points in his career! Congratulations, young man! And he gets a standing ovation from the Hilltopper fans. Finske sinks a couple of free throws, and he joins the 1,000-point club, and even the Purple Panther fans and the Panthers themselves applaud the accomplishment by Steven Finske tonight. Finske with 22 points on the night, 1,000 in his career. What a great show of sportsmanship here at Simmons Gymnasium between these two rivals.
And you know it's a big deal if Litchfield is cheering for Hillsborough.
There you go. There you go. Great show of sportsmanship. Very nice. Classy moment. Classy moment, and especially, you know, Litchfield. And so congratulations to Steven Finske. We've seen several of the scoring marks fall and 1,000-point club members this year.
Well, of course, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago, but Sammy Matouche goes over the 1,000-point mark in his sophomore season. And all of a sudden, you know, we're on the Abby Brockmeyer scoring watch earlier this year. We'll have to get on the Sammy Matouche scoring watch here starting sometime next year.
And Amanda Schmidt earlier a couple weeks ago scored 43 in a game to set a singles game record and went over the 1,000-point mark. I think she also set the mark for 17 field goals.
Yeah, most field goals in a game,
So, we've had some individual performances this year that were pretty special. So, anyway, one of those moments that you come across once in a while, and it was a great show of sportsmanship, a classy moment for both Litchfield and Hillsborough, and two rivals going at it, and, you know.
So. And some of the team basketball around the area might be a little down from what we've come accustomed to, but individually, there are some great ball players in the area this year.
And they make things interesting. And it goes in cycles. You know, it's funny how, of course, when you're dealing with public schools, that's the case a lot of times. You just have times when, you know, things are a little down as far as programs, as far as records are concerned. And then you have years that are blessed with good talent. So, we've certainly had our fair share of some terrific individual performers this year. So, have you seen anything this week at the county tournament, Tim? I mean, I think.
We had a great game between Carlinville and Gillespie in a girls semifinal, went to overtime. Hannah Lair.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about great performances, I love it when you see a kid who basically comes out of nowhere in a crunch time situation and delivers like Hannah Lair did the other night against Gillespie. Hits a three, banked it in at the end of regulation to force overtime, and then she scored all six Cavalier points in overtime, including a beautiful reverse layup with only a few seconds left in OT that proved to be the game winner. But whenever you can, you know, Terry, you've done this a lot longer than I have, but when you can call a game and generally be surprised,
that's a good feeling,
and you know that a kid did something special that they'll remember for a long time.
Usually the players that are supposed to get their points get their points.
Especially at the end of the game.
But, you know, and we see this in football. We see this in professional baseball and basketball. It's the other people that step up for the moment and can make the contributions, and Hannah Lara did hers, and it was a pretty special moment. So, and now that we're getting close to the postseason, that's what it takes. You know, if you're going to make a run into the postseason, number one, you've got to have some good talent and the coaching and the talent has to mesh, but you got to have some good luck as well. And part of that good luck is, of course, being healthy, but you also have to have that person that would step up, that maybe doesn't average but a handful of points, and all of a sudden they score a dozen points that night and get a dozen rebounds, and boom, you know, it changes the whole complexion of the postseason run.
Oh, it does. And so Carlinville's playing for the championship, but on the first day of the tournament, they almost lost to Staunton. Carlinville was winning 31-12 at half, and then the Bulldogs, a great second half. They get the game down to 2 points. They had a three at the buzzer for the win. Looked good when it left her hand. Just didn't go down. But hats off to the Lady Bulldogs. They took Carlinville to the brink on that Monday at the Macoupin County Tournament. Now the Cavvies find themselves playing for the championship. And unfortunately for Staunton, for the second straight year, there's always one boys team and one girls team at the county that does not advance to Saturday. And for the second straight year, it was Staunton on both sides.
Yeah, that's too bad. So,
but they almost had the win of the tournament on Monday.
That would have been the upset of the tournament, huh? So it was pretty special. And like I said earlier, most everything went according to Hoyle as far as the seeds were concerned at the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. So things have kind of fallen right into place there. So the coaches did their seeding, did the seedings and did them well. So
yes, and on the boys' side at the Macoupin County Tournament, to me, the two best teams in the county are playing for the title, Southwestern and North Mac, even though Bunker Hill was the two, North Mac was the three. You know how it is with North Mac. Their record is always more around that 500 mark now that they've gotten into the Sangamo Conference, but their schedule is so tough.
Oh, it is.
So tough.
It is.
I mean, you watch North Mac play, they're just solid. They're just good.
They're just in your face.
Oh, they are.
You know, and they're so quick down the floor. You've got Graham running things out front. Asa Donaldson, just an athlete of an athlete. You know, just a horse of an athlete. I tell you, the guy is...
He's a stud.
He's a stud. He
Zane Langelier, though, having dynamite
year. Yeah.
Dynamite.
Langelier's doing terrific. He saw him earlier this year, and he had a good night. So, yeah, North Mac, you know, and Southwestern, you know, we expected this team to be good coming back this year. We expected this from the Piasaw Birds. So it should be a terrific matchup at the Macoupin County Tournament. If you haven't planned on being there, it's going to be a nice night weather-wise. You ought to get your butts there in the gymnasium.
Well, that'd be a great game.
You will enjoy this matchup tonight.
And another kid for North Mac that I've been impressed with this week is Gavin Mace.
Mm-hmm.
Little shooting guard for the Panthers. He's had a great tournament.
And again, you expect the stuff from Langelier and you expect the stuff from Donaldson, but when Gavin Mays steps up, great things happen. And you know, if you play for TJ Wilson, you play defense.
You won't get on the floor.
You don't get on the floor. Yeah. So
that's what separates you, though. I mean,
sure.
Especially
sure,
this time of year, you look at any teams that are playing for championships. Basically, all the coaches will say it's all about the defense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you don't defend, it's going to be a long season.
Long season. That's right. Because the defense, theoretically, doesn't give out on nights when the shooting doesn't show up.
It's not supposed to.
Not supposed to. It does.
But sometimes when the ball's not going in the hole, it's a little harder to play defense.
It sure seems that way, doesn't it?
It really does.
And that's where you bring in the mental aspect of the game and everything and try to tie that all together. And, you know, even you see highly paid professionals struggle with it, and so sometimes we forget that, you know, teenagers will struggle with it too.
Yeah,
and they're just kids. Yes. So get out and enjoy the basketball games around the area tonight. So.
Well, I expect this boys' game. I think we're gonna have a fantastic ball game tonight for the boys' championship.
Crowds, I thought it would have been a little bit light this week at the Litchfield tournament because we've had pretty good weather, but. You know.
We've had nice crowds the last two nights out the county. Of course, the ice storm that was supposed to be on Saturday, that obviously hurts when you don't get that Saturday
game. When you don't
get
that Saturday in. Yeah, that really does hurt. It really does. So, and it won't be long that we'll be talking, you know, baseball.
Well, spring training for the Cardinals is a month away?
Less than a month away.
Less than a month away.
Yeah, our first spring training broadcast, 5 weeks away from today. So.
Normally, you know, you hear that, it's like, oh boy, that really warms me up, but it's 60 degrees and raining all the time.
60 degrees
now. Don't
got
to get warmed up.
I've got patches of grass that are green in my yard. You know, how could this be in January? So that means we're going to pay for it in April.
You know that. Maybe even February. What are the odds we get out of this winter without another nasty, cold, snowy stretch?
I say the odds are, not even betting against it. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Right.
So. Yeah. Well, hey, we need to get to a break. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment.
Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Fighting Illini basketball for you today from Michigan, live at noon on 105.3 The Ox.
Believe it or not, Tim, next Wednesday the coaches will be responsible for sending in their seedings for girls 1A and 2A regional tournaments. And by this time next week, we will have pairings for the regional tournaments for 1A and 2A.
It'll be real interesting to see how I don't know what the subsectional is at Hillsboro.
Mm-hmm.
Is, and I can't think of where the sectional's at, but you got Hillsboro, you got Auburn, and you got Tri-City. It'll be very curious to see how those seedings work out. Because, you know, in the subsectional, it actually does matter.
Sure.
Because
sure.
Auburn's hosting the regional.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that they will be at Auburn.
Yeah.
And so will Hillsborough and Auburn wind up in the same regional again?
The subsectional thing completely changes the look of the postseason, whereas the neighborhood regionals, you can kind of count on a certain group of schools being together year in and year out, with minor exceptions. You know, maybe one year one team would move to a different regional and then come back. But the sectional complexes, it's a whole different ball of wax. And of course, the design for the sectional complex is to try to make sure that the best teams have the best shot to get to the sectionals and get beyond into deep into the tournament, so that you have the best representatives in the tournament.
That's the way it should be.
Well, yeah.
But if Tri-City's unbeaten, they have to be the one, don't they?
Well,
I mean, it would stand to reason.
And I don't know where West Central is, where Winchester is. They're probably in a different sectional complex, but they're unbeaten still. So, yeah. West Central beat Litchfield for the North Green championship on, was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday.
That was supposed to be Saturday, too, right?
It was supposed to be last Saturday, yeah. So,
good showing for the Purple Panthers over there in that tournament.
Oh, yeah. Very good showing. Very good showing. So, and, of course, Litchfield will be a 3A.
Yeah.
Again this year for the postseason. So Litchfield was getting some votes in the poll this week in 3A.
In 3A,
yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is. So, but next week at this time, we'll have regional tournament pairings for 1A and 2A. And that's always an exciting time of year.
Oh, yeah.
And
we've got potentially some teams that could make some runs.
We do. We have several actually that could make some runs, and I think we got a pretty good draw as far as regional tournament sites as well around the area. So that'll be a week from now. I meant to bring that in. It's buried on my desk amongst 10,000 papers this morning. So.
And you see, did Litchfield? Did they schedule a game for the regional week of 2A this year?
No, they did not. They did not.
So we'll have a long
way. I talked to Rob last night a little bit. So they're going to have that week off, which,
can go either way. I mean, rest is a good thing.
Yeah, rest is a good thing, but staying sharp by playing is, perhaps just as well, or maybe even better.
Abby probably needs a break, though, by then.
She continues to roll along, I tell you. Adding up those numbers. So, yeah. Impressive, indeed. Plus, we've got some regular season basketball yet to come here this week. Coming up on Tuesday night, we've got a doubleheader for you. Bunker Hill at Litchfield Boys, followed by Lincolnwood at Pawnee. Then on Thursday night, Carlinville at Litchfield. That'll be a terrific girls matchup. Friday night, Greenville at Hillsborough Boys, a rematch of this afternoon's seventh place game. And then next Saturday night, Litchfield at Hillsborough Girls Basketball, on the final Saturday of January, a traditional matchup. So you can always check our broadcast schedule for our games, WSMIRadio.com.
That'll be a good one. Litchfield got him the first time,
mm-hmm.
if you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. And, we always talk about Litchfield, Hillsborough. How about the Toppers and the Panthers the other night? I mean, Hillsborough in the regular season game beat Litchfield badly. Mm-hmm. And then, not surprising, at least to me, that Litchfield came back and made it competitive second time around. That's just the way that rivalry works.
And when we're talking girls basketball, really Greenville's in the driver's seat now. They're 6-1 in conference play, and Litchfield Hillsborough, I think, 5-1 in conference play, and they still have to play each other. So, the Lady Comets are in the driver's seat as far as the conference lead is concerned for the South Central.
Yeah, Carlinville's lost to Southwestern really put them in a tough spot for the conference.
Yeah. So, but of course Carlinville and Litchfield have to meet yet. Gillespie and Litchfield have to play yet. The stretch.
A lot of crucial games remain.
Going to be a lot of good games down the stretch, obviously.
They had a nice moment before the Carlinville-Gillespie girls semifinal game the other night. I had a moment of silence for Andy Easton Jr. So that was a very nice touch. Of course, he had ties to both Gillespie and Carlinville, clearly.
Yeah, Andy, good guy, great, part of the great family of Easton family. With old Andy and young Andy and I remember Andy's, I think his daughter's name was Elise, played as a freshman for Gillespie and, Made some big free throws late in the ball game to either win it or get them into the championship game. And I think they ended up at Pena the next year. And she was part of the Pena successful run to state. So where they lost to, I think, Chicago Hope in the championship game. So. Yeah.
Anyway. Earlier in the week, Kevin,
Andy was a great guy. He was a great guy. I mean, old Andy, young Andy, both. Yeah,
just yeah. I did not unfortunately have the privilege of knowing the man, but I've heard all the stories and I've just heard all the great things.
Love kids.
Said about him over the years.
Love kids. I mean,
that's a guy. He did it for all the right reasons.
Yes, he did.
You know, in this day and age, where you got some coaches who do it for all the wrong reasons, he was doing it the right way for the right reasons.
Yeah. He did. He did. And what an inspiration he was. You know, he went through some tragedy as far as his personal life and his health is concerned, and battled back and still got back to teaching for a while, and he will sorely be missed. He was a good guy. So
it seems bad things happen to good people more than they should.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Earlier in the week, Kevin Gray and Christina Blevins, of course, the coaches for the Glisview Miners, they wore all black in honor of Andy. Apparently, he always coached in all black, no matter the
temperature. Oh, yes. And Andy coached several different teams around the area, football and basketball, and he was involved, and he was probably not quite the storyteller his dad was, but he was still a pretty good storyteller.
So. That'd probably be a tough mountain to climb to get,
get past
senior.
I think so. I think so. Tim, while we're on the subject of young people, basketball and in particular, the IESA tournaments are starting. The seventh grade tournaments are starting. There are some quarterfinals today in Class 1A at Pena Sacred Heart. Lovejoy taking on Mulberry Grove at 10, followed by Mont Olive against Sereno. And then the winners of those games that from this morning session will play in the semifinals this afternoon. The winner of Lovejoy and Mulberry Grove gets Pena Sacred Heart at 1, and the winner of the Mont Olive Sereno game gets Pocahontas at 2:30. In the 2A IESA regionals in 7th grade at Central A&M Assumption, South Fork takes on Nokomis at 11, Central A&M against Morrisonville after that, and then Pawnee against Holy Family out of Decatur. And at Winchester, Jerseyville, St. Francis, Holy Ghost against Carrollton, Madison against Bunker Hill at 10 and 11:30. In 3A, one game at Gillespie this morning at 10, North Mac against Auburn, that's a quarterfinal. And at Greenville in the quarterfinals, Wood River, Lewis and Clark takes on Vandalia, and East Alton takes on Roxana. And of course, we'll follow the progress of those junior high teams as they go along as well. So, since we always have junior high teams in state tournaments,
I was just saying, history will suggest one of those teams is going to state.
So, what, 8 years, 9 years in a row, and you know, 10 out of the last 11 or something like that it's been. So,
we've done so many junior high games, people are surprised. Wait, you're not doing the junior high sectional final?
Yeah, that's the comment we got this year, yeah. And, you know, and when we call up to the IESA office, well, we figured you'd be here.
Guys. Well, you're like Norm with cheers when you go to the IESA. Terry!
Yeah, I've been there a few times. Yeah, but you know, it's great basketball. It's a fun thing, and it's a fun event for schools to be part of. So we'll see.
Our run of doing junior high games is so long that the group of kids who were
involved they're in the out of high school.
They're out of high school.
They're out of high school now. Yeah, they're out of high school. Mm-hmm. So, and then the run started with the Litchfield girls back to back, and we've had state champions virtually every year, or runners up, and it's been baseball, softball, basketball, volleyball.
But I tell you what, you know, of course, the Gillespie boys basketball team went to state, and those kids now are freshmen. That's going to be a good group of athletes.
Oh, yeah.
You got Anthony Gravan, you know, he started varsity football this year, which that rarely happens for a freshman to start football, but he's starting on the basketball team. Doesn't look out of place at all, but they've got other freshmen that are on the varsity roster that contribute minutes here and there as freshmen. That's going to be a good group.
And, you know, by this time of year, Tim, and we hear coaches sometimes say it, freshmen aren't really freshmen anymore by this time of the year. They're beyond their freshman mistakes. Now, they're still going to make freshman mistakes from time to time, but they're going to be fewer and fewer as the time goes on. And, you know, Nokomis has Carter Sobel, who's a 6'7 freshman, and, you know, he's the potential level there is just, you know, off the charts for Carter. So he had a great game last night against Mount Zion, and Mount Zion's a terrific basketball team.
We were talking a little bit off the air with Nicomas. I asked you what their record was. You said 14-5, and now they start the 1A portion of their schedule. I mean, they basically play all the way up to now with the scattering of 1A schools. They get into the bigger schools earlier in the year, and it always pays off.
We were talking about tournaments earlier, and we forgot to mention that the fact that the Morrisonville tournament was disrupted because of bad weather conditions, and they're still scrambling to get it finished. Coming up Monday night, Vandalia will take on Lincolnwood at 6. Nokomis will take on Carlinville at about 7:15 or 7:30. The tournament will continue on Thursday night, this coming Thursday night, with Edinburgh taking on Vandalia, followed by Nokomis against Lincolnwood. And I think that will finally wrap up this year's edition of the Boston
Tournament. That's a disjointed tournament
this
year.
Boy, it's just, you know, you have years like that sometimes. It's just goofy, but
like the additions of Vandalia and Carlinville.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the question I got at the Litchfield Tournament this week, after the 100th year of the Macoupin County Tournament, what's going to happen? I said, well, I assume there's probably going to be year number 101. I don't know. That's not up to me to decide, but I assume there's probably going to be a 100 first year. But that's next year will be the 100th edition of the Macoupin County Tournament.
There's just no way to know yet, but what will be the state of Manalo Athletics?
Sure.
Will they have a team?
Sure.
In a couple of years?
Sure.
Because if you lose another team, mm-hmm. you're going to have to do something different.
Yeah. So
just get it to 100.
Yeah.
Figure it out after that.
Yeah.
Just get it to 100.
And they're at 99, and 99 will be wrapped up tonight. By the way, our broadcast coverage from the Macoupin County Tournament starts about 6:30 tonight with the girls' championship game, followed by the boys' championship game, and of course they'll be handing out the all-tournament team honors as well.
Yes, Manalo going for their first ever county championship. And for these girls, they've progressed one round further every year they've been in high school. So the logical next
was at Bunker Hill. They darn near upset Southwestern, the top seed their freshman year.
Yes, that's right.
I remember that. Yeah.
And then their sophomore year at Gillespie, they lost to a very good Carlinville team in semis. And of course, last year lost to Southwestern in the final when they tried to out Southwestern at Southwestern, and that didn't work. Bad idea.
But tonight, it's Mont Olive and Carlinville for the girls and Southwestern North Mac for the boys. So get ready to go watch some basketball.
Fun not a ball.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we need to get to another break. We'll come back with more Sports Saturday right after this.
Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, Illini basketball this afternoon at Michigan, live at noon on 105.3 The Ox. And Terry, with the Illini on the road, we know what's going to happen, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to look
keep
bad.
It inside of 20. Because they really haven't done that yet on the road.
No, they haven't. They've not. You know, they had a short burst there where they looked pretty decent playing at home. And, boy, it's just on the road. It's just awful. They just look out of sorts.
They're a different team.
Tracy Abrams disappears.
Yeah. Yeah, if they're playing directional schools, he's pretty effective.
Yeah.
But against the Big Ten, just non-existent.
Not good at all. Maverick Morgan, I think, has stepped up and has done very well for them. He's kind of been a pleasant surprise for them, even in spite of the fact that they've not been successful as a team. But Maverick Morgan has impressed me this year with what I've seen. He's really improved his game. But, boy.
Got to shoot better on the road.
Gosh, they're just awful. They're just awful. I don't know.
And I like John Gross.
I do too.
I defend the guy.
Yeah.
But man, if they do decide to move on, it's gonna be hard to say that they made a mistake, because it's losing on the road in conference play. That happens. You know that you hope to win your home games, go 500 on the road. But you gotta be competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, they get on a neutral floor or an opponent floor.
They shoot 30%.
They
shoot 30% from the floor. And you can't win. You can't win doing that. They they're still having trouble rebounding. They don't block out well.
But you can't get blown out every road game you play.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to at least be competitive.
The other night, I heard somebody on the broadcast say, well, the Illini are probably on the bubble for the NCAA. I'm going, how in the heck can you even think that they might even get into the NCAA? There's no way.
I mean, it doesn't look good.
No.
Right now. You're going to have to do something on the road if you want to get in the NCAA tournament. And I can see that conceivably, you know, still a long way to go in the college basketball season. So you could probably say they're a bubble team now, but that's dependent on them showing a different type of play the rest of the Big Ten season.
But you've got a veteran team for the most part.
I know.
The veteran team shouldn't, you know, they should be where they need to be as far as being competitive, and they're not. I just don't see them getting any better. I'm sorry.
No. And, I mean, their losses, if we're going to talk about them as a tournament team,
yeah.
You start looking at it, 40-point loss to West Virginia on a neutral floor.
Neutral floor.
That's bad.
That's awful.
That's bad. The home loss to Winthrop in overtime, if you're talking tournament,
yeah.
That's bad.
Well, right there, to me, that eliminates you.
That hurts you.
Yeah.
But then, to me, the Indiana game, you get down, they got down like 15-0 or 13-0. You know, they clawed back, got it to single digits, but you can't get down that big of a margin to start a game on the road in conference play. And then you go blow the game against Maryland at home.
Mm-hmm.
Looked good for about 30 minutes. And then the last 10 minutes just totally
like you've never seen a basketball in your life.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
We talk about the tales of two halves. Well, it was the tales of three quarters of the game versus one quarter of the game.
Yeah.
But then
you're non-competitive at Purdue.
Oh, I mean, they were just outclassed from the get-go.
Yes.
At Purdue.
So it's hard to say you're on the bubble when West Virginia, they're really good, but they blew you out. And then on the road at Indiana, embarrassed. On the road at Purdue, embarrassed. You know, they beat Michigan at home earlier. No, they beat Ohio State earlier at home, not Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to believe they're going to go into Michigan today. Forget about winning the game.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe they're even going to compete.
Yeah, yeah.
They're probably down about 15-3 at the first media timeout.
And, you know, and I am like you. I like John Gross. I like the style of play that he has.
I do, too.
And these are supposed to be mostly his guys now. And
it might be the only thing that saves him is the recruiting class he has coming in. And that to me, you got to give this guy an opportunity to coach this class coming in.
Yeah.
And then next year.
This is one of the better classes nationwide.
It's like top 10.
Recruiting wise, yeah.
Top 10.
So let's hope the Illini have some patience. You know, maybe the Lovie Smith influence of, you know, okay, Lovie stepped in. We're going to give him time to work. Maybe that's going to rub off a little bit on the basketball program. Let's hope so. You'd like to see Gross get a shot. With a healthy team, with truly his guys of highly recruited people.
Right. So. Yeah, exactly. But these are also his guys this year.
Yeah.
You know, these are all his guys, and they're not getting it done.
Yeah.
Not getting it done.
They just looked absolutely awful.
You just got to compete. You got to be competitive.
Yes.
You know, there's no shame. There's no shame in losing
that
Purdue.
Lots of people lose at
Purdue.
A lot of teams are going to lose at Purdue this year.
But you can't lose by 25 or whatever it was.
Yeah. Not even be in the game.
No.
So.
This can't happen.
Well, that's the Illini. That's the problem they've struggled with here in recent years. And
now, you said on the bubble, were they talking about the NCAA or the NIT?
They were talking NCAA. Okay. And I'm going, man, you're beyond me. I don't know what alternate evil universe you're dealing with. But
I thought in
this universe, it's just not going to happen.
I thought going into conference play, I thought they were squarely on the bubble. And then after the conference season, I think they're off the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're on the outside looking in right now.
I think early on this year, I said if they could be about 500 and be in the middle of the pack of the Big Ten Conference, that would be a wonderful year for the Illini.
And if they can pull that off, they'll make the tournament.
They will make the tournament because the Big Ten's a heck of a conference, going to be well represented in the tournament. Middle of the pack in the Big Ten is better than most everybody and a lot of other stuff, the rest of in Division I basketball. But I think they're going to really struggle to get there. I just don't see it happening now. Unless something...
Where are the road wins?
Well, where's the leadership? You know, where's the leadership?
You got 2 6-year seniors.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, they somehow are void of leadership.
Boy, that's...
You know, Kendrick Nunn got kicked off last year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been, you know, some off-the-court issues.
And you try to put that behind you, but maybe it's just that little shadow that's kind of hanging over. I don't know.
I wonder.
It does. Well, let's talk about the Cardinals a little bit. And the fact that Cardinals will be ready to crank things up here with a little bit different look. I heard John Mozeliak say the other day that he's obviously always looking to improve the team. He thinks that there's going to be more moves before the start of the season. So,
Major moves?
Well, I don't know.
Well, they did sign Matt Adams, Terry. Thank goodness for that.
Well,
season saved. Season saved. They got Little Town locked up, so that's good.
Well,
thank goodness. Yeah. I was worried. I was worried they
apparently might not happen. Matt Adams has done a work over on himself and has lost some weight and tried to strengthen himself. But the guy's been so injury prone over the years.
That's great. So his singles will be hit really hard this year.
Yeah.
But where's he going to play? He can only play first base. You've committed to Matt Carpenter at first base. So what? He's just a bench player now?
I have no idea. I think that's why Mozeliak said we're still looking at moves. You know, somebody is not going to be a Cardinal.
Right.
Maybe more than one. Maybe upwards of three or four. It's a possibility, I would think. So.
And I know I like Colton Wong.
Mm-hmm.
Mozeliak likes Colton Wong.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Matheny don't like Colton Wong. So as soon as Colton Wong goes 0-9 in the first two games of the year, he's going to bench him. We know this is going to happen because he's done it the last two or three years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So maybe you got to trade Colton Wong and put Carpenter at second.
Yeah, and let Wong play someplace
else.
Let
Wong where he can thrive and be a stud for somebody else because Mike Matheny doesn't like him. Because he got picked. I guarantee it's because he got picked off in the World Series.
Because
Mike Matheny was dumb enough to put him in the game. Oh, Mike Matheny.
Don't mince words, Tim. How do you really feel?
I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan.
I know. Sometimes it's frustrating.
Well, when you make the same, like in our profession, if you make the same mistake 5 years in that you made your first year, you're going to have a problem from the boss man.
Yeah, that's true.
And Mike Matheny makes the same mistakes now that he made his first year. There's no growth.
The thing, and, you know, baseball is a difficult sport. Let's face it. It's probably the most difficult sport to not only be highly skilled at, but to anticipate.
It's a game of failure.
Yeah, and it's all about a game of failure. But the fact that there's not much, you know, where many managers are thinking two and three innings ahead, Matheny seems to be in the real-time moment and not really thinking ahead sometimes. That's how I perceive it. I don't know whether that's right or not, but it just seems like Cardinals tend to get kind of behind the eight ball from time to time where they should have had somebody up and I'm ready to go, maybe, you know, in preparation of making a pinch-hitting move, and it's, you know, something that doesn't materialize.
He admits that he likes to get pitchers through five innings so they can get a personal win, that he wants his closers to get saved. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. It's not fantasy baseball. You're the actual manager of the actual team.
It's about winning the game.
Get the W.
Yeah, get the win.
Who cares who gets it, as long as the Cardinals get it.
Check out our website for the broadcast schedule today, WSMIRadio.com. Tim, have a fun time at the Macoupin County Tournament tonight. I'm going to have fun at the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. And
ready for hoops.
Hey, ready for hoops. It's hoop season. It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's it for Sports Saturday on WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.